table.
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know.
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, yakkers. I hope you had a wonderful weekend.
It's been a long, busy weekend.
That it has.
Very exhausting weekend, actually.
Yeah, it's been one of those really killer weekends. We had children issues, driving issues, big picnic.
Oh, yeah. I'm starting to forget. I'm so tired at this point.
But it was fun for the most part.
Yes.
Just tiring.
Time goes by way too fast when you're busy, though.
I know. We had a great time at the Peace Arch, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
With the Humanist North Puget Sound and the British Columbia Humanist.
Yes, and then next year we might be on their side for a change.
Hopefully we'll be on their side.
Yeah, we'll see.
So we'll go to Canada next year.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, but on with the show. In our first story, Nashville mayoral candidate accused an ad of omitting "Under God" during Pledge of Allegiance.
Interesting.
So, in a radio ad paid for by a political adversary, Nashville mayoral candidate Megan Berry is accused of leaving out the words "Under God" during the ceremonial Pledge of Allegiance that takes place at the beginning of the Metro Council meetings.
And I suppose everyone had an issue with that.
Just one guy.
Oh, okay.
So, he said in this ad, "It is important that you know what I have witnessed before you vote," Dominey says in the 60-second ad, which the term-limited Antioch area councilman said he plans to bring back to the airwaves on another network Tuesday. This was last week.
Okay.
So the ad basically called her an atheist.
Oh, no.
I know. It was
How
horrible.
How dare he?
You know, using atheism as a smear tactic in political campaigns. Really.
That's... A start.
That's a start, yes.
Yeah, really? That's supposed to be hurtful. I mean, obviously she's not an atheist, and accusing anyone of something they're not is a smear tactic.
Right, and she's not an atheist.
Right.
She said she regularly attends church. She is a Christian, right?
Right.
But not only that, she's questioning as to whether how he knows, because he doesn't sit near her. He can't see
good
her.
Point.
He's behind her.
Oh, well, that's a good point, actually.
And what's interesting is the people that sit near her say she says it every time.
Oh, the under God part?
Yeah, right? And, you know, I don't get it. What makes him think this is okay to do?
Well, not only that, what difference does it make?
Well, we are talking Nashville. We're talking Tennessee.
Yeah, I suppose. Another Bible-thumping location.
But there is good news on this. She beat him.
Still,
after all that, she beat him.
So his plan did not work.
No, I think it backfired on him, because she beat him 55-45.
Well, I was going to say, it just got her that much more attention.
Right, and she became Nashville's first woman mayor.
Oh, really?
So I think that might have had something to do with this guy.
Yeah. He just doesn't like that, you know. Another one of those who think women should be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen.
Yeah, I know. It's just ridiculous. But I'm still hung up on this idea that they're using atheism as a smear tactic.
I know, right?
Oh, you can't vote for her because she's an atheist.
Exactly. I mean, that's the best he could come up with.
You know, and that's sad that he had to make something up. I mean, she obviously is a pretty decent person.
That's what I always said. If you were to ever run, that would be their only tactic they could go with. Oh, he's the evil atheist, you
and
know,
I would
because
say yes.
You have the most blandest background. They would never find anything because there is absolutely plain yogurt, nothing to find.
That's because I am a godly person.
Oh, please. But no, I mean,
well,
when they're out of things to do, they just find, you know, out of things that they can use against opponents, they just find the silliest, stupidest things they can find.
Right. Yeah, he probably didn't notice her do it one day and said, she must be an atheist. She didn't say under God in the pledge.
Yeah, and I can run with that.
Yeah,
you know?
we can do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. That's ridiculous. One day, we will come to the point in this country where that is not a smear tactic.
Exactly.
Where people's faith is not used against them in politics.
I wish there just wasn't faith, period, in politics.
Well, here's the interesting thing. This just happened the other day. Ben Carson, running for president, was questioning the faith of Donald Trump. That's the point we're at in the Republican campaign. Ben Carson is number two.
Right.
Trump is number one in the polls.
Right.
So the only thing Carson can do is say he's not Christian enough.
Exactly.
So that's where this kind of stuff comes from.
Right. No, of course. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
I mean, it's just like dog eat dog with them.
Yeah,
they,
I know.
Just, rawr.
I'm waiting for them to implode.
What they're getting to.
But I think we should move on.
Yes, I believe we've had enough time with that one.
Yeah. So an Alabama town to ban saggy pants and two short shorts after councilmen prayed about this.
Okay, there's several things with this that I have an issue with. One, I don't like baggy shorts. Or, I mean, baggy shorts, just combine it all. I don't like saggy, baggy pants, but I don't like two short shorts either. But at the same time, I would never expect to pass a rule over an entire town for this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
Let alone he prayed about it.
Yeah. So, Dadeville, Alabama appears to be on its way to having an ordinance banning saggy pants, but one council member wants to make sure it's equitable. So at least we have that.
Okay.
My concern, this is what she said, my concern is that it should be for everybody. Dadeville City Council member Stephanie Kelly said at Tuesday's council meeting, I think for the girls, with these shorts up so high and light, wait, let me try that again because that makes no sense. I think for the girls, with these shorts up so high, looking like undergarments and dresses so short, I don't want us to be showing favoritism.
Okay, I get what she was trying to say.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's good for the goose, good for the gander, right?
Right. Guys should be punished, girls should be punished, not just one or the other. So she's trying to keep it equal. I get that.
Right. The sagging pants issue was first brought forward by fellow council member Frank Goodman at the August 25th meeting. Goodman further explained his reason for the ordinance to ban the slacking, is what he calls it.
Right.
He says, we have people walking down the street with their hand in front of them holding their pants. Then they have the nerve to walk into a place of business and ask for a job. If you come to my house, you're going to pull them up before you get on my property, much less in my door. I prayed about this. I know that God would not go around with his pants down.
See, he was good up until then, except for the whole enforcing everyone in the town to do what he likes to see have done.
Right.
You can't force people to wear what you want them to wear in town. It's just, it's not like this is school and you can set a rule book kind of deal. You know, there's a dress ordinance at schools and whatnot. This is town. Sorry, can't happen.
Well, but, don't we have indecency ordinances?
Yeah, but isn't that geared more towards running around butt naked?
Yeah, for the most part.
Right. I mean, you can't go telling people what they can and cannot wear and how they can and can't wear it. As much as I can't stand either one of those baggy pants or the short shorts where you can see lunch, I just, no. I still can't expect to force people to do what I want them to do.
Well, I agree with you there.
But he was doing good up until the I prayed about it part. Yeah. Like, really, dude? Come on.
Yeah, and I know that God would not go around with his pants down. Well, according to your historical Jesus, he didn't wear pants anyway.
Well, I was going to say, they didn't wear pants. They wore dresses, basically. They wore big like robes. Giant long nightgowns.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and, you know, because he expects you to come in his house in a certain way, he expects the entire town, which he apparently equates to his house as well, people need to dress the way he expects them to dress kind of thing.
Right. I'd find that ridiculous.
Yes, I do. And, you know, I agree with the fact that it drives me crazy when I see people who do dress in that manner and then go for a job still dressed in that manner. I mean, there's a time and a place for certain things.
Right.
And so I get that. But at the same time,
well, it also depends on what job you're going for. I mean, if you're going for a job as a DJ at a nightclub, yeah, dress like that. That's what you're expected to dress as.
Well, you dress as you want. Usually as a DJ position, it's a lot more free thinking, right, quote unquote. You know, you can dress whatever. But
if you're going to work
point.
For a bank, you might want to pull up your pants, yeah.
No, but that's what I mean. I get the point. There's a time and a place, but no matter what, you cannot tell people what they can and cannot do. You just can't.
Well,
sorry, it's America. You're here for a reason. Get used to it.
Yeah.
I mean,
free country.
Exactly. even if you don't like what the other person has to say. Sounds familiar.
Yeah. And we have an update from a story we covered in episode 14.
A while ago.
Yeah. A Michigan lawmaker quits, another is expelled over a bizarre sex scandal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fill that in.
So last month, Representative Ted Corser somehow thought that faking a gay affair and then having it turn out to be false to draw attention away from his real affair with Representative Cindy Gamrat more acceptable.
Real, I said back when we did that show that that was like the dumbest idea ever.
Yeah, so he concocted this huge email.
Right.
And with his aid.
Right, to show a fake gay affair instead of the real affair that they had that he had with this other woman.
Right, he hoped and it would draw...
Why he was married, correct?
He hoped that they would take it as this is the lesser of two evils. At least he didn't have the game home, the gay affair, right? It was his idea.
Right.
Right.
I'd rather be in trouble for this than that.
Is yes, that was scenario? Basically it. Okay. Yeah. So that's like the kid weird who comes thing. Home and says, you know, I got a D on my report card, and he actually got a C, but he wrecked the car.
Okay, that's a good analogy. Whatever.
Well, it's just really weird.
I mean, the thought process.
Yeah, I know.
It's
actually something a kid would do.
Well, that's the other thing. That shows the maturity level of this scenario, you know? It's like, come on. Right. Are you kidding me?
But, yeah, they figured the false rumor would work, but it didn't when one of his aides exposed him.
Uh-oh.
But we do have that update.
Okay, let's hear it.
So it turns out that they were both expelled. Well, one was expelled and the other one quit.
Oh, uh-huh.
By the Michigan legislature, 91-12 vote.
That's a big difference.
Yeah. Also due to that action, we now have access to some of the email they plan to leak, which we didn't have before.
Oh.
So in it, they call Corser a bisexual porn-addicted sex deviant.
Wow.
And a gun-toting, Bible-thumping freak.
Wow.
Now, remember, they wrote this email themselves.
Oh, okay, that's right, that's right.
And it also called Gamrat a tramp.
Really?
Yeah.
Again, I'm going to the maturity level.
Right, that's the... So they're calling themselves the worst thing they can possibly think of. Bisexual, porn-addicted, sex deviant.
That's really funny. I mean, that's the best they can come up
yeah,
with,
and
really.
Yeah, and gun-toting, Bible-thumping freak.
I just find it funny. I mean, the maturity level is just mind-boggling here. You think you're listening to a bunch of teenagers.
I know, that's what it sounds like.
It's exactly what it sounds like.
But these people are making laws.
That's the scary part.
Yeah, they're making laws in Michigan. Luckily, I don't live there.
Well, that is true, but that's not good for the Michigan you know, people who live in Michigan, Michitonians, what do you call them?
Michiganites.
I mean, but it's not good for them. I mean, these people are making laws, being in charge.
I know.
I mean, and it sounds like daycare.
Well, they did have something to say. Corser said, I would appreciate your prayers all day today, just that God's hand would move in all of this to his end for his honor and glory. Do I just not understand sentences, or are they...
It just sounds weird.
I know. Am I saying it wrong?
Perhaps.
Maybe I just don't know how to God write.
Maybe I need to read that part
Okay,
for
you read
you.
That part.
Let's see. I would appreciate your prayers all day today, just that God's hand would move in all of this to his end for his honor and glory. God bless all of you who have prayed your many prayers and supplications on my behalf. I am sorry for all the stress and disappointment I have caused everyone. Thank you. Really? That's where he goes with yeah. this?
Yeah. It's all God's movement.
Yes. I mean, God made him do it. Sorry.
Yeah.
I get an excuse. I get a pass. I get to keep going. Because just blame it on God and we can move on.
Yeah. Even Gamrat had said she's ready to move past this and ask for forgiveness from God.
You know, you can do anything you can possibly think of and just call it up to God and everything is A-OK.
You know what's funny? is they were bearing false witness against themselves. I don't think that's... It just says against your neighbor.
That is true. That is true.
So maybe they didn't break the Ten Commandment, except for adultery.
Well, I was going to say, I think there's another one in there. But I think they have had more than enough attention. It is time to move.
Yeah, I agree.
Move on.
And it is time for us to move on.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
It is time for Potter.
That it is. This week, we finally go to someplace new.
It's about time.
And desolate.
Yes, that is true. Which you would think you would actually have more Potter coming from places like that because they're really their own entity.
No, it's mostly the South.
Yeah, they just keep winning all the time. Either that or
we just don't get enough news from this place, which is likely.
That's possible.
But we headed all the way to South Dakota.
Yay.
State Representative Roger Hunt plans to introduce a measure that would effectively deny trans high school students the right to determine their own gender identity.
Really?
Yes. Instead, for the school's purposes, a student's gender would be determined by whatever it said on their birth certificate and by the results of a visual inspection.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So whatever's in the pants is what you do.
Wait, whoa. Is that what they mean by a visual? I didn't go there with that, actually. I don't know why I didn't, but I don't think so.
If you still have boy parts, you go on the boys' team. If you have girl parts, you go on the girls' team.
So you're saying that they're going to inspect to see if you have
these
things.
That's what the law says.
Like the freaking bleep, bleep, bleep they are. There is no effing way. Are you kidding me? No. But anyways, that is just ridiculous.
So Hunt said about this. This is South Dakota. We haven't adopted the East Coast culture. We haven't adopted the West Coast culture. We maintain our own culture.
So there's that kingdom thing.
Yep.
But are they freaking kidding?
Yeah, so they want to inspect the children. So who's going to do this inspecting?
Hell no. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's what he wants. Just because he doesn't understand trans.
That is ridiculous. Aren't there rules and laws that prohibit him from doing stuff like this?
He makes rules and laws.
I don't care. There's got to be something higher because there is not a cold day in hell that I would allow any school official to ever look at my child undergarments or below undergarments, I should say. Yeah. I mean, there's no freaking way. But no, absolutely not.
Well, this move comes about a year after a coalition of lawmakers first voiced their disapproval with the hugely progressive move for trans youth by the South Dakota High School Activities Association. They declared last year that in a case of a high school sports team segregated by gender, trans students could choose which team they play on, guaranteeing participation for all students regardless of their gender identity or expression.
That's
reasonable, right?
Yes, absolutely.
If you identify as a girl, you get to play on the girls' team.
Right.
Their issue with this is that they're afraid that they're going to get ringers.
Really?
Yeah, they're afraid that a boy is going to pose as a trans girl.
Just so
they can get the better volleyball team.
This goes to show also how the adults are thinking.
Right.
Because kids don't think like that.
Right.
Right now, they're having so much of a hard time just being a teenager, let alone a teenager that's transgender. That's like crazy hard. The last thing on their mind is the way that the adults' heads are thinking.
Well, that reminds me of exactly what Huckabee said a few weeks ago.
What's that?
It was right after Caitlyn Jenner came out.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And he said, if that's how it works, I don't have the exact quote, but he said, if that's how it works, I wish I could have done that in high school so I could have gotten to the girls' locker room.
Hello, exactly what the hell I'm talking about.
It's a complete misunderstanding of what trans is.
Not to mention, I'm sorry, on a side note, adults at his age think in a completely different capacity than the way a teenager at that time thinks.
Right, especially one going through that sort of issue.
Well, and that alone. I wasn't even thinking that alone. But yeah, I mean, just as a normal teenager, if you look back when you were 16 versus, say, when you're 42 or whatever, you do not think the same. It's like the old saying, if I knew then, would I know now kind of
scenario.
Right,
that's what he was saying.
Yeah. But that just goes to show where he is. I mean, you know, that's real sweet. I can't wait to vote for that.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah. Uh-uh. But this is Potter Award. And you don't get in for just one.
More.
It's always more. In 2012, he co-sponsored a bill with the following language. I'm going to try and read this. Legislature of the state of South Dakota hereby declares its support and encouragement for all five school districts in the state to implement a course of study to include in the literature or social studies curriculum courses or lessons to help students become familiar with the content, characters, and narratives of the Bible. And I'm not done. And that no state, district, or local educational body should prevent the teaching of the courses or classes on the Bible so long as the courses meet the guidelines of the First Amendment.
I don't think so.
So basically, there's more to this bill. There's a lot more to this bill. I read it.
So he's basically imposing this bill and putting a little backslide on it saying, you can't take this bill away either.
Yeah. So here's a little more detail on this bill. Basically, it wants to use Bible as literature, social studies, and history, and not as theology. So that's how they get in under the First Amendment. They're allowed to teach religious scripture so long as it's not in a Bible class.
Really?
Right. Because... They want to use it in a Bible class, but not as religious teachings. They want to use it as
historical
teachings and social teachings.
I think other than the way a particular culture used a Bible, there is no historical in the Bible itself.
Well, you and I agree with that.
It's the way other people used that Bible, not the Bible itself. So, again, that still falls apart.
Right. And then to say that any district can't opt out of it, you have to use this.
That's total BS.
Well, sadly, the bill passed.
Oh, that's even more BS.
But are you kidding? I don't think it's been enacted yet. I don't think it's fully enforced because I can't find anything else on it.
God, that's so just ridiculous.
I'm going to check on that and see if I can find it. But when I wrote the story, I went looking for, you know, is there a Bible class in these schools? And I can't. So I'm thinking maybe something happened. That night,
I hope so.
In the bill history, I don't see that it ever got signed by the governor.
They would be stupid to do
so
that.
So he may have not signed it.
I would hope not. I mean, I can't understand why they don't understand America is the melting pot. I mean, do they not remember at all these adults out in the world right now, when we were kids going to school, they used to play this little thing in school about America, the melting pot, and they would sing a song or some crap like that. It was some old after-school special kind of deal.
Right.
And which means that there is all diversities of people, all diversities of religion. It's not just freaking Christianity. I'm so tired of hearing Christianity rules everything and everyone will go in this way. It's like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I know. But we're not done.
Of course.
So in 2005, he created a legislative task force to study abortion. This task force was supposed to be made of lawmakers, anti-abortion activists, abortion rights supporters, and supposedly neutral members.
Sure.
Yeah. But the majority of those on the task force were openly opposed to abortion rights.
Of course it was.
And the resulting report presented by the task force to the governor reflected the majority's unsupported anti-abortion stance.
Of course it did.
Ultimately, task force concluded, and this is a direct quote from this task force, to fully protect the rights and interests and health of the mother and the life of the unborn child, a ban on abortions is required.
I don't think so.
The sad part is lawmakers, including Hunt, relied on this report to pass two abortion bans and a law that created a 72-hour waiting period for women seeking abortions.
That's ridiculous.
Now, this was back in 2005, and both of those abortion bans have been overturned.
Uh-huh.
And the 72-hour waiting period is currently in litigation.
But this is just another proof of why he gets the Potter Award. He just wants the world in his view.
Right. So it appears that he stacked the deck with anti-abortion folks in order to skew the results to get the legislation he wanted to begin with.
Right. Very honest of him.
Yes. Yeah, a good Christian of him.
Yes, very Christianly of him. But I just, again, I mean, I'm sorry. You cannot tell a woman what she can and cannot do with her body.
So, yeah, that's the Potter Award for this week.
Yeah, I think he's rightly due that.
But I wanted to say one more thing before we left this week.
Okie dokie.
So, Thursday the 17th is a very important day in American history.
Which most people don't know, by
the way. Most people don't know. It is the Constitution Day.
Right.
It is the day that the Constitution was ratified.
Right.
So I thought, we have stuff going on all over the country. It's not much.
No, I mean, as you know, we just had 9/11.
Right.
Which is huge, and, you know.
I think Constitution Day was bigger before 9/11.
Yeah, it's completely.
Well, there's some rules that the schools have to cover the Constitution on Constitution Day.
Well, we'll find out, because our kids just covered 9/11, obviously.
Right.
But we'll find out if they cover that as well.
I hope so. I mean, the Constitution is our founding document.
Right.
Contrary to popular belief.
Right.
And it does give us all our rights, contrary to popular belief.
Are you sure? Because I thought that was the Bible.
No. Well, maybe.
I don't think so.
No, but I'm constantly in arguments about, you know, where rights come from and who wrote the Constitution. Moses did not write the Constitution.
And how they're always saying it was based on Christianity's
right.
ideas, and we're in a Christian nation.
So
and
the Constitution set us up as a secular constitutional republic.
Right.
You know, we're not a democracy. Mm-hmm. We have representative government.
Right.
We vote people to represent us. So that's what the Constitution set us up as. That's right. What our founding fathers wanted, because they knew pure democracy doesn't work.
Right, because they wanted the people to have the say.
Right. Well, in a pure democracy, people do have the say.
Right.
But it becomes the majority have the say.
Oh, right, exactly.
Which is what they wanted to avoid.
Oh, uh-huh.
And there's always that argument that majority rules.
Right, yeah.
But not in a constitutional republic.
Right.
In a constitutional republic, the rights of the minority are protected from the tyranny of the majority.
Exactly.
And that's what Jefferson actually, not the exact words he wrote, but that's what he meant.
Right, uh-huh.
So that's why I think Constitution Day is really, I think it's actually more important than July 4th.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think we should be celebrating Constitution Day like we do July 4th.
I was going to say, at least equally.
Yeah, because yes. Granted, July 4th was...
day we signed our independence.
It's not the day we signed the independence. It's the day they approved the independence.
I was going to say, yeah.
They signed it over time.
Right. I was going to say, it wasn't just all on one day.
Right.
But, yeah, no, I understand that, because that protection gets you from not being overrun just because all the mass people drank the Kool-Aid.
That's what gave us gay marriage. That's what gave us desegregated schools. That's what ended slavery.
That's
the
what
Constitution.
Happened in the
50s. Right. And that's been pretty much thrown away over the past few years, if, in my opinion. They are disregarding the entire Constitution with these theocratic rules they want to keep bringing in.
Right.
Ever since the 50s.
Yes, the 50s is when a lot of those rules came into play. And it has affected ever since very much. And what's ironic is today that they always fall back and not realize, hello, it wasn't always there.
Right.
They think because we have, you know, in God we trust on our money or as our motto, blah, 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 that was always there. And it wasn't.
Right.
Or in the pledge, for example,
yeah,
under God. You know,
yeah, just like in our first story.
Exactly. It was not always there, and they just assume that it was, and then they, you know, spiel out how, you know, America is a Christian nation.
Which gives us stuff like Kim Davis.
Oh, God, don't even get me started on her.
And that's a great way to end the show.
I hope so.
That's all the yakking we have for you tonight. Join us again next week as we resume the assault against your eardrums. If you can't seem to get enough of us, check out our Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. If you like what you hear, drop by our Patreon page and help support the show. Then head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and leave us that coveted 5-star review. And remember, the government of the United States is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion.